Today, I want to talk about how to get from here to there. I've got here in quotes, and I have there in quotes. Because I took extra time getting started this morning. If you don't have time, I'm going to net this out for you. So this will be the shortest of all Sunday talks if you need to get somewhere in the next 1 minute. Here's how to get from here to there. Gather images. Gathering images, I think, is the secret to healing. Because images drive human behavior. If you can gather new images, it can drive you to there. The second point is, what's the whole point of going from here to there? I think, number one, it is elevating our consciousness. That's the point. That's the point of life. That's what we're trying to do, elevating our consciousness. And if we trust in the divine and allow the divine to carry us through truth of existence, right? Growth, nutrition, and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, with rhythm, it will carry us to there. It is trusting in that will get us there. There, that's the Reader's Digest version. So now let me go to the non-Reader's Digest version. This idea that humans are driven by the images and we use our imagination to create images, that doesn't sound all that complex, right? It drives our behavior. If we have an image of a boogeyman under a bed, it is going to drive a certain behavior. If we see or imagine a saber-toothed tiger in the shadows at night outside, it is going to drive our behavior. If you look at TV, or you read any magazines, or you see print advertising, or TV or radio advertising, you're like, what is the point of that? The point of that is to drive our behavior. They're trying to drive us to buy the cars they're advertising, the alcohol they're advertising, used to be the cigarettes they advertised, the prescription drugs that we should be asking our doctors, is this drug right for me? And all of that is, even political advertising, is designed to drive us away from one group into the arms of another group. You go, wow. So the here that we're currently experiencing, the conditions in our lives, really are based upon, up to this point, the images that we've bonded with, we've accepted, or the images that we've rejected or pushed away or hated or fought. Those images relate, that bonding and rejecting, relate to people, things, activities. I got to do, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Ideas, and most significantly, ourselves. We have bonded or rejected ourselves in so many different ways, and it has been creative in establishing the current conditions in our lives. Simply put, I say, we manage matter, solid stuff, energy, not solid stuff, space, and time in our lives. And we do it. We do it. Now the question is, do we do it effectively, less effectively, more effectively? And on some level of effectiveness, we're managing matter, energy, space, and time. I talk to people whose emotions manage them. They don't manage the emotions. The emotions manage them. So to me, that's like energy, matter, managing us versus us being the managers. And we could say the same thing about matter, space, and time. My clock says I have to do this, and I gotta eat because it's this time. And we recognize that, like, well, it can be convenient if we're doing the managing, and it can be inconvenient if we're at effect. If you think in terms of here as location and time and space, all of us are a certain age. Somewhere on a line, if we drew a line from birth, or how about conception, and to death, and maybe that's a dotted line because we haven't yet determined when we want to die, but we're on this thing and we're like, okay, I know how old I am, and we put some number that identifies us on that timeline. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, I can't do certain things because I'm this age, or I can do things because I'm that age. I don't know how it is for women, but teenage boys are very eager to get to the driving age and the drinking age. That's like, oh, I can't wait to get there, I can't wait to get there, I can't wait to get there. So, because we think now, oh, we can act grown up. We have no intention of acting grown up. We just want to be able to behave in certain ways, not so grown up oftentimes. Look at where we live. It's like, yeah, that's where I am in space, on planet Earth, in the United States, in this state, in this town, in this, and you go, oh yeah, in this house, and you happen to be now, today, in a room. And we could drill down all the way to longitude and latitude, right down to the degrees, minutes, and seconds of latitude and longitude, and it's like nobody is occupying that space physically other than you. Like, yeah, that's where I am, that's where I am. We could look at here in a different way. Most important way, of course, is this way. Our self-concept. How we think of ourselves right now. How we feel about ourselves. How we feel that we fit in to where we are, where we work, where we want to work, that sort of thing. How we fit into our families or not. How we feel about our value to ourselves, to our families, to strangers, to other people, to humanity, maybe even to our Creator. How we feel about the good that we can contribute. Ah, I can do this and I can make things better. I can improve things. I can help elevate other people. And in the process, because we reap what we sow, I will be elevated. All of that falls into our present self-concept, the way we see ourselves. I like to use the 12 worlds, you know, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance as a way to, how do I feel about myself in those areas? What do I see myself as mentally or emotionally or physically? We could do the same thing with the 10 emotional states that I talk about. I find it to be a convenient way to look at where I am. Where is my here when I put my attention on X? Am I in shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride, courageousness, acceptance, and peace? And if I'm on one of those lower levels, I want to climb that ladder. Or if I'm seeing those 10 emotional states as a series of stepping stones on my path, I want to move to the next one. I want to move to the next one until I'm operating in one of those top three: courageousness, acceptance, or peace. All those lower ones have certainly reason to exist, and they're valuable in a given context, but none of us wants to live on any one of those states at any one moment, or for longer than just a few moments. It's like, I want to live in anger. I want to live in anger. No, we don't. No, we don't. We can get tricked into that. And for a lot of people, that is here, raging against this and raging against that and fighting this and battling that and hating this. That's a problem. Because that impacts everything else about here. Health, ability to socialize, level of happiness, all kinds of things. Sometimes people, and I've heard this conversation, where are you with regard to your retirement plan? So that's another way of defining here. Never really saw it as a here, but it can be. And what about, where's your health at this point? All of this stuff seems to be defined as a continuum, like a spectrum. It's not only a simple point, but in fact, it's a spectrum, it's a continuum, and we're at various places, pretty much in regards to everything that we're in relationship with. So the question becomes, let me make sure this is where I am. I'm here. And you go, That's right. That's it. It is here. It is here. And the reason we're here is because here is an effect of a cause. Like, I don't know how I got here. Well, it was caused. I think we pretty much can agree on that. It was caused. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know how this happened. Things happen because they are caused to happen. Now, we understand that, but not everybody has that. It's like, it just magically or evilly manifested in my life. Yeah. No, I think pretty much if there's an effect, there was a cause. One of the things about images is they can be a cause and they can be an effect, then they can be another cause and then they can be another effect. It's almost like a chain. It's like, yeah, ooh. I think if there's stuff in our here that is not desired, if you look, we're going to find rejection and resistance, which pushes away the divine flow. Rejection and resistance. And if we look at our here and go, you know what? I like things. I like things. I like this. I like that. I like the other thing. I think you're going to find bonding and accepting. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. This stuff came to me, or I was able to cause it because I was bonding. I was cooperating. I was in the flow. I was aligned energetically with it. That's here. Other ways, how did we get here? Our childhood environment. I couldn't remember the name of the flower that changes color based upon the alkalinity or the acidity of the soil. So I Googled it. Hydrangeas. Hydrangeas will change. So we can change the expression of a flower by changing the soil. You go, oh, that's really, really cool. And then we turn around and think, I wonder if the soil of our childhood, in utero, at birth, after we've been born, you know, those first 6, 8, 10, 12 years, those, maybe including puberty, lots of changes go on, lots of image changes go on during that period. We go, I wonder if that soil could impact the way you and I have arrived at our current here. I think it is obvious. Yes. Loving household, if that was the soil, you're a good girl, you're a good boy, you can do this, that was very helpful, that was thoughtful, that was kind, that was respectful, and, right? Wouldn't that have been nice? I think I had friends that had a home like that. Or if you grew up in an angry household, it's like, anger was added to the soil all the time, or depression, yeah. Pretty much we know that. Bruce Lipton, in his book, Biology of Belief, talks about the idea that we're programmed. We don't have any way to filter from up till about the age of 6. Whatever is going on, any environmental signals that occur near or around us are going to go right into the subconscious mind. I could say we were programmed by what was added to our soil in utero and in those early years. And then when we start forming our own perceptions, even as little kids, those perceptions either free us or imprison us, help us grow wings or clip them. Like, if we look back over a course of our lives, we're going to say, what have we tried to avoid? Which is another form of rejection or resistance, right? We look back and go, I tried to avoid this. I think this is really what we try to avoid in a nutshell. Losing energy. Losing energy. If we avoid the loss of energy, that means we can continue growing. we start losing energy. We're then in a decline. That's going in the wrong direction. And we would say, oh, I tried to avoid pain too. Why? Because pain is feels like losing energy, losing power. We try to avoid criticism, right? That one of the first driving need that the ego expresses through the personality, according to Christ Returns. Like, defend ourselves from criticism, emotional and physical attack. And we weren't just doing it as small children. We're doing it as adults. We will be doing it until we take our final breath in physical form. Now it's a question of degrees. All the time, every time, under all circumstances? Of course not. But having done that early on, to more or less degree, has established where we are and how we got to here. So I'm looking at my longest running member of my congregation who has returned to her pew. I appreciate her attendance for these 3 or 4 years, and she wants preferential treatment, which is okay. I'm well trained. So we try to get more energy. That's how we got here. I got to get more energy. I got to get more attention. I need to get more stuff, things, security, material goods, money, however it is, we try to protect ourselves. And that's really what it is. We're looking for energy or some other stuff, power to protect ourselves, protect our self-interest, protect those people whose responsibility is ours. Children, pets. We're like, Yep. I think we got here by creating, assembling photo albums of images. If you think of everything that you and I have seen, and every time we click our eyes, we blink our eyes, that's like a click of a shutter of a camera, and depending on the emotional content of that image, boom, it is permanent, or it was so mundane I don't even recall having seen that. But that series of photo albums, I think, are arranged in a lot of different ways in our filing system, arranged by topic, by people, by our age, by other people's age, by the emotions that we were experiencing or seeing other people express, by the location that the image was taken in. And it's like, And a lot of those images are given to us. Parents, siblings, teachers, peers on the street corner. And, early years, right? Saturday morning advertising to children in cartoons. Tell your mommy and daddy you need, right? So, boom. You got all kinds of images. I got to have every toy on the planet, mommy and daddy. It's like, got photo albums filled with that stuff. And a lot of this stuff all centers around how we think and feel about ourselves. Goes back to that self-concept. But we think we are, we feel we are our images instead of we have these images. It's like a photo. I remember years ago, it was an interesting conversation I was read about. A white man is talking to a Native American, and they're talking about spouses and family. And the Native American says, "This is my wife, and those are my children." Says, "Oh," the white man pulls out a photo out of his wallet and shows, "This is my wife, and this is my family." He said, the Indian said, "Wow, they're small and they're flat." It's like, oh, good point. Yeah, this is a representation of, it's not really them. It's like, but we hold on to that stuff. We hold on to that stuff, including a lot of images of threats that have been given to us, have been marketed to us, or we, through our level of awareness, have, I'll say, misinterpreted. Then anybody who I think is not wise enough to leave the 6 o'clock news off and turns to that just as a test, let me see what is being spewed, are going to see, wow, we're being fed images. That's how we're stuck here. We're driven into here by the images that are being fed to us. They're toxic. They're toxic. They tell me who to hate, who not to trust, who to fear, who to want to kill, who to support so we can kill, who to fear and who to hate. Like, yikes, yikes. Is that a good idea? I don't think so. I don't think so. But this is the good news about here. Knowing what our here is, our current conditions in any one of these things, the 10 emotional states, 12 worlds, or any other way you want to look at that, it triggers our desire for a there, in quotes, there, that is more of what we want than the current here that we're experiencing. And the here that we're in right now is giving us feedback. Oh, this doesn't feel good. This is not as much fun. This is not as exciting. This is not as lucrative. This is not as joyful. And it helps us to define that better there that we can aspire to. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Reaching out. Reaching out. I love that statement multiple times in Christ Returns. Reaching out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and asking for enlightenment. Reaching out. Just think, reaching out is growth. Reaching out. Got plants. I have an avocado tree I'm in love with. Its name is Joey. That's its variety, Joey. Joey has grown 6 feet in a year. Joey is reaching out. Reaching out. Avocados are forming already again this year. Reaching out to the sun. Roots are reaching out for nutrition. That's what we need to do to get there. And if I say, we need to upgrade our images, like I did in the Reader's Digest version of this talk, upgrade our images, you and I can say, oh, wait. Isn't that what we call learning? Learning? I would learn, yeah. I'd become more aware. Ah, this is mental growing. This is mental growing. Clearly, you and I have grown physically from a fertilized ovum some time ago to our current physical state that's here. Go, oh, yeah. Yeah. If we can recognize what Bruce Lipton also said about what he considers the two modes, we got either or. We can be in the growth mode or self-protect mode. And that self-protect mode, you can hear, it's about resistance. We're trying to protect ourselves. We're resisting what we believe are going to be dangerous environmental signals. Whereas the growth mode is we're reaching out. We're reaching out. We're willing to engage and exchange energy with whatever objects of attention we might desire. A person, a book, a concept, you name it. That growth mode, we need to be willing to be growing. And you get there by increasing the life in our lives. Like, what? Yeah, like life force, like that energy that powers us, that consciousness that moves our bodies, makes our cells be able to reproduce healthy cells. Like, we want to increase the life in our lives. And it's really easy to see that hatred is going in the direction of death, while love is going in the direction of life. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to reach for death, and I'm not going to be an instrument of death. I'd rather be an instrument of love and life. Yeah, that's way better. How do we get there? We lighten up. Anybody who's ever lost 10 pounds knows that, like, oh, wow, it's so much easier to move. I can get in and out of a car without much difficulty. My clothes go on easier. I can bend over and put on my shoes. Climbing stairs is so much easier. Lots of different physical activities are so much easier just by lightening up on a physical level. But the same thing is true when we lighten up emotionally. We move up that emotional ladder that I mentioned before, from shame up to courageousness, acceptance, and peace. It's the view of ourselves, life, opportunity, other people, God, what we can achieve, what is available to us, the menu of options, all expands tremendously. And lightening up, and everybody knows this, not everybody does this, is laughter is good medicine. Reader's Digest knows that. Other people have used laughter to heal from illnesses. The famous one was Norman Cousin, maybe 40 years ago. He brought himself back from the verge of death by using humor and going on a high diet of humor and intravenous vitamin C, actually. You go, make things fun and humorous. Look for that other point of view. That's like, oh, yeah. Not everything is a tragedy. Not everything is a drama. Not everything is really serious. And if we can lighten up, it's easier to get to there from here. I think if you look at here on one side of the page and you put there on another side of the page, you go, oh, wowee, there's a gap in between them. So what do I do? Well, you can build a bridge, you can build a road, you can fly over that. But let's just assume we're going to build a bridge or a road or some sort of pathway from here to there. Yep, you're right. We need ingredients. What ingredients? How about getting new stories, the stuff we tell ourselves? Maybe our life is not a tragedy. Maybe it's not so dramatic. Maybe it's an epic adventure. We tell ourselves stories all the time about ourselves and other people and the thing we want to try to do, but oh my God, it's an uphill climb. It's so difficult. We can tell new stories. And in that story, guess who the hero is, or the heroine? You, me. We are the stars of our stories. It's like, We could add new beliefs. New beliefs? We can access everything we need to succeed on this journey. Like, new thoughts, new feelings, new words, new behaviors. We can draw them into us. Just like Joey can bring in air into its leaves and can draw nutrients and water in it, through its roots. We can draw all that stuff into our consciousness. And if we improve our skills, improve skills are probably a good idea to help us build this bridge. Attention. We manage our attention. We manage our intention. We direct those energy flows. We become better at selecting and defining our expectations. And if we've created those things that result in disappointment and pain and aggravation and like, I think I need to work on my ability to expect what I can expect of myself and others and so on. And ditto with communication. It is holding back our communication. It is holding back our expression is really what keeps us back in the here and prevents us from moving to the there. Expressing ourselves, moving this wise energy that we have translated based upon all of our experience is essential for us to get to there. It's an ingredient that will help us build that bridge or road there. Don't feel like building a bridge or a road? Here, other images. How about the image of a white dove? A white dove. I thought of this the other day. There's a white dove. You know, there's a white dove in a lot of the pictures of Jesus being baptized. It's like, what does that mean? You know what? White doves have been important symbols in all religions. Way back, Egypt, Greece, all white doves have been there. Like, So what's the deal with Jesus' baptism? Now, we could make up all kinds of stories, and I'm sure this is a sensitive area, not necessarily on this call, but on others, would be, wait a minute, you're going to define what Jesus' baptism was all about? How about baptism in general? Because baptism has existed in all religions way before Christianity. It is not new news. But we could say, baptism, the use of water, is a cleansing activity. It's a joining of a group, you know, almost like an initiation. We could say it's for a person, much like Jesus talked about it in Christ Returns, is like, I want to start a new life. I want to turn over a new leaf. I want to move from what I was doing. I want to go from here to there. And I think maybe this step will help me. And you go, makes sense. Makes sense. The characteristics of white doves in the religions, Christianity and others, are these. White doves are known for their loyalty to their mates, to other people. Their willingness to work together, to build a nest, to construct, to make something. You go, that's interesting. So they have a level of cooperation that you don't find in other animals. And in some humans, they also demonstrate, or the characteristic of love is associated with them, and their devotion to family. And they're basically peaceful. They're peaceful. Hence the phrase, doves and hawks. Let's go kill somebody. Let's go kill somebody. Okay, that's a hawk. Let's coexist. That's a dove. I didn't see the movie Noah that's currently playing in theaters. But in the Old Testament, part of that story of Noah is that being out in New York, finally was like, I got to find out if there's any land out there. He released a white dove, and the dove flew away. And then ultimately, it came back. It came back to the ark carrying an olive branch. That was proof that there was a there to Noah. There is land somewhere out there. Whew. So the waters are apparently, in his mind now, receding, so there's going to be some place for him to land with the ark and his cargo. Proof that there existed. There is a return on investment. Think of it. It's a return on investment. You're here. You want to be there. There is a return on investment. What do I invest? What do I invest? You invest your mental energy. Defining it. Clarifying it. You add it to, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to use my emotional energy. I'm going to feel what the ideal there would be. I would meditate on it. I would pray on it. I would invest my energy in establishing what that there is. Then I'm going to noodle and doodle and try to figure this out. I'm going to make lists. I'm going to write, and I'm going to define it. I'm going to mind map. I'm going to journal. I'm going to add my physical energy to there. In all of that, I would have defined there. I would have invested my energy in there. And it will inspire you and me. It will pull you and I forward. It will strengthen us on our journey because of its pull. It'll give us courage when we're like, I'm not sure I'm headed to there. We'll be strengthened by it. And the whole point, I mentioned it before, the whole point of getting from here to there is to elevate our consciousness. Not, I live at geography point A, and I want to move to geography point B. No problem with that, and that's an excellent choice. I bet nobody lives in the same, well, certainly us. We don't live in the same place as we were born. Not in the same house, not maybe not even in the same town or even in the same state. We're like, yeah. So definitely got a different geographical there, but we certainly are interested in a different there regarding our consciousness. Wouldn't be on this call. Wouldn't be a fan of Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth. We wouldn't be reaching out for a greater awareness because we realize that's what we do. That's the whole point. We want to elevate our consciousness. And that would be represented by being more accepting, not only of ourselves. I think that's acceptance starts at home. Just like charity, we'd be more accepting of ourselves and then others, more respectful of ourselves and then others, more loving to ourselves and then others. We would be honest and fair with ourselves and others, more forgiving of ourselves and others. We go, yeah, I'm pretty sure balancing our self-interest and the self-interest of others is going to be an aspect of elevating our consciousnesses. And on this journey from here to there, when we get to the point where our consciousness is elevated to the point where we trust in the divine, we trust in the truth of existence, we know this divine consciousness is actually seeking to deliver growth to us. We've experienced that our entire lives on every single level, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. We have plenty of evidence that that is true. Nutrition and nourishment, ditto with that. This stuff is designed, and it's coming out of a factory. Might want to reconsider. It's like this natural, nutritional, and nurturing is going on. It's like healing. We've all scratched ourselves, cut ourselves with a knife. Healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival. And if we understand and we can get to this point and trust in rhythm, we can set aside the tendency, the habit, the images of, I think I'm going to be having a tantrum now and be impatient and see if that produces the results I want. Will a tantrum get me from here to there? I don't think so. It makes us heavy. So by trusting in rhythm and aligning with it and seeking to be aware enough to align with it, everything in its own time, we go like, I can relax. This is being handled for me, in me, and through me. I love it. And of course, we can trust the law of cause and effect. For me, that is one of the most reassuring things I have ever encountered in my life, that we reap what we sow. Like, that's how it happens. That's how it happens. That's how effects are caused. Yep. That's where here comes from. Yep. That's also where there comes from. So we can lighten up by trusting that these rhythm, this natural divine rhythm, is seeking to carry us to there in every way. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life. We are Father, Mother, Life, right? We are Father, Mother, Life. And we are the constant, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask us to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care and allow you to deliver us to there. Thank you. It is so. Amen. Now, if you'd like to hit start.